Got your Bibles, turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, this is Easter Sunday here, and we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to start reading with verse, they have now crucified Christ. He had two secret disciples, one Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and they buried him in a very wealthy grave. And according to the world, or according to the disciples' world, everything is now shrouded in black. I put this out for your consideration. I wonder what heaven thought of. Did heaven know the resurrection was going to take place? Or was it only in the Father's mind, just like the rapture of the church is? For your consideration, I can't prove it's true, you can't prove it's not. But I give you something to contemplate on. So is it possible that not only on the earth that the disciples are all discouraged because everything they'd believed for is now laying in a tomb? Notice he wasn't in a casket or ossuary or anything of that nature. He was in a tomb. That tells you something. I wonder what the angels were thinking. I guess the experiment didn't work. He's dead. Yet there's two angels on assignment sent to the earth. One to fold his clothes and the other one to start an earthquake. One to proclaim the power of the resurrection. Maybe only those two angels in the whole heavens experience knew about it. Because God sometimes does things in secrecy. The Bible said the secret things belong to the Lord, Deuteronomy 29:29. So it's something to contemplate. So when a king dies, you know, most of the time, things are shrouded in black. Here was the King of Kings, dead. And he's been in there a while now. So in chapter 28, verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Stop for a minute. How would you like to be called for eternity the other Mary? Say, who's that? Oh, that's the other Mary. Was she not a good Mary? No, she's just the other Mary. What does the other Mary do? We don't know. She's just the other Mary. Notice that. They just called her the other Mary. But notice where she was. She was going to see her King of Kings. She was going to anoint his body. The other Mary. You may be the other person in life. Not too many people pay attention to you. But notice this, you're exactly where you should be like everyone else. God's got just as much looks on you as he does on Mary Magdalene. The other Mary's there. That tells you something. Keep reading with me. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, isn't that a blessing? I preached a sermon in probably 1981 called Sitting on Your Problems. Jesus had a problem. It was called the stone. So the angel just sat on it, crossed their legs and said, hello. What's holding you in your tomb? What's holding you back? Are you willing to let an angel from God sit on your problem so you can receive the fullness of what you rightly deserve? His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. What is that? That's the anointing of the Lord. That's just not because his hair is white. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now notice this, physical men that are watching this, they're physical men there, they're watching this. This is not religion. This is fact, which is recorded in the Chronicles. Now watch this. Good Lord. And the angel said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. That tells you angels know what you're looking for. Why do angels know what you're looking for? Because they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to you. I'm going to answer those questions as I get into this. Notice they already know. They know what you're looking for. They're there to help you get it. And notice what he says in verse 6. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And verse 7 is where we get to. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Wonder why they wasn't there. So next time a preacher criticizes a woman for being in ministry, ask him, why wasn't the men there? Shout, ladies, I just set you free. Where were the guys? They were scared. You want something getting done? Tell a woman. She'll tell somebody. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Now he's finished his job. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear or reverence and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. I want to go back to verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day. Title of my message this morning is, what a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. You may have cancer and in the next 30 minutes be healed of the power that's in Christ in your body. You may be financially distraught and the next day, my Lord, be blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out. What a difference a day makes. Here was a new day. People criticized me over the years of religion, of my ministry, say, he's always excited. Well, I tried sad and didn't like it. So what did you do? I just changed days. What a difference a day make. When I got born again, at one time I was a sinner, and then the next day I was resurrected unto life. So if you're taking notes, write this down. The best evidence for the resurrection of the Lord is, number one, the resurrection of the church. If you go into a dead, beat up, busted church, all you're going to do is live in a tomb and get mildew smell on you. But if you go to a place, God, that's excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, that believes in healing so you can stay healed, believe in prosperity so you don't never go broke, believe in blessing in the city, in the field, going in, going out, you are going to live at a resurrection church. You know, I love being saved. Why? Because I'm alive and doing well. So the best proof for the resurrection, the evidence for the resurrection of the Lord, is the resurrection of the church. People say, why are you stay excited about God? He's alive. Not that I'm against Buddha. Not that I'm against Mohammed. I'll be honest with you. I just like the guy that came out the grave. And I like the guy that's coming back. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you got to understand, write this down. Belief in the resurrection is the dominant power of all Christian mankind. Belief in the resurrection is the dominant power of all Christian mankind. If Jesus would not have rose from the dead, I will say it publicly, I would not be a Christian. Why do I want to go to church and serve a dead person? Let the dead bury the dead. But every time I pray, I don't know about you people, I hear a voice. And it's not the dead talking, it's the live King of Kings breathing life into my innermost being. So the resurrection is the most dominant power of all Christian mankind. Now, a lot of people say, I don't know if I can believe that. Write this down. Not only must the darkness of doubt be stopped, but also the troublesome fog it produces. See, not only have I stopped doubt in my mind, I've stopped the troublesome fog. Because even though it's foggy, you can still go through the fog. You have many opportunities to disbelieve, or you have many opportunities to believe. I choose to believe. So let me say it again. Some of you writing it down. Not only must the darkness of doubt be stopped, but also the troublesome fog it produces. I've had some people say, Mr. DePlanis, you are seem like a brilliant man, an educated man, you know, an intelligent man. How can you believe that someone rose from the dead? I'll tell you how. Because I rose from the dead. Well, I know you've never died. I was once dead. I was dead in Christ. And let me tell you, it could only take a God to change me. Because I'm going to tell you something, the Catholic Church couldn't do it, the Baptist Church couldn't do it, the Pentecostal Church couldn't do it, Mama couldn't do it, Daddy couldn't do it, all them Christians that tried to talk to me about God, they couldn't do it in any way, shape, and form. But when I met that Master, bless God, I want to let you know, the doubt left and the fog dissipated. See, it took a God to help me. I needed the resurrection, you see, because I was drinking a fifth of whiskey a day. I was smoking a little dope a week. I was snorting cocaine, PCP, crystal meth, you name it. I couldn't stop it. It was impossible for me to stop. Oh, but when I got in front of that face that shined like lightning, Lord Jesus, when I began to realize that this ain't religion, oh, no, man, religion is a garden of weeds. I wanted somebody that was alive. Glory to God. That I could say, hello, Jesus, and he could say, hi, Jesse. I'm starting to preach. I can't help myself here. Glory to God. That's the dominant power of Christianity. So my God, I can get an atheist to say amen if you hang around me enough. Why? Because I began to knock away the fog. See, they said, well, I need it to be proven scientifically. Yes, science. See, you look at the matter, but you don't see the mind behind the matter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Things have to be accepted by faith. You accept that your wife will be right with you all the days of your life by faith. You can't be with your wife every minute of the day. But because you love her, or vice versa, love him, and you have faith in them, you are true to each other. Now, if you can believe like that, why can't you believe the other way? Let me say it again. Not only must the darkness of doubt be stopped, but also the troublesome fog it produces. Now, I realize I live in a very secular world. So I've got rid of the fog. I've had people come to you, almost persuaded me. I said, hang around. I'll get past almost. And I tell you one thing. My daddy says, I've had Jewish people look at me, and I love the Jewish people. They say, Reverend DePlantis, you're so much a Christian. I say, yes. They say, you're really into this. I said, no, it's into me. I'm not into it. It's into me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Why? I said, all I want y'all to do is just believe in a Jew. I'm not trying to get you to believe in a Gentile. I tell all my Jewish friends, I just want you to believe in a Jew. What's the matter? You don't like your own people? Come on. Jesus is Jewish. So how could anybody be anti-Semitic? How could anybody hate the Jew when the King of Kings, Jesus, the Messiah, the resurrected one, is Jewish? Now, think on that for a minute if you want to get homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, or theological. You see what I'm saying? But see, there's something in the world that they call secular humanism, which is a detriment to belief in Christ and a detriment to anything that has to do with believing in God. Let me say it again. Faith is needed to protect the Easter message from the attacks of secular humanism. Write it down. Faith is needed to protect the Easter message from the attacks of secular humanism. Why did God give us the shield of faith? Because it stops all the fiery darts of secular humanism. Man wants to think he can handle it all. And it's amazing to me. We're running out of fish. I saw it this morning. The salmon are gone. We only can do farm raise now. We're running out of oil. And you know, let me make it now. We ain't running out of oil. There's no disruption of supply and demand. They just know that you're going to drive in the summer. We're running out of air to breathe because we're filling up everything with CO2. Everybody wants to become green. They can't do it in a day. It's going to take at least a 2050. We're running out of land garbage dumps because we're filling them up with whatever. It's amazing. The earth, the world, secular humanism has no future for you other than wiping out the planet, put a few people on it, put them in a spaceship and try to get them to Mars or the moon or something like that so we can go on another planet. But Christ in us, the hope of glory, can have oil last forever, can have food last forever, in every which way, shape, or form, if we would just do what God tells us to do. Who is destroying this planet? Not the salmon. Us. Why? Because we're the only ones that can. The salmon, I don't care how big they get, they can't destroy the planet. I don't care how strong a gorilla is. He can't get in a rocket and go to the moon unless a man put him in there. I felt sorry for that little monkey they put in there the first time I went to that moon. Can you imagine going, rrr, rrr, what is going on? But he came back doing okay. All he got out of it was a banana. That's what secular humanism gives you, a banana. Good Lord. See, but the message, the protect the East, the message, you have to use faith from the attacks of secular humanism. Like I told you earlier, well, that atheist said, I don't believe in God. I said, well, then what do you have to offer? See, you got to give me something if you don't believe in something. What do you have to offer? I have to offer to you today the Lord Jesus Christ, who's risen from the dead. Amen. See, what a day makes. You can come in saying, I don't know if I believe that. One of our former, do y'all remember one of our former governors? Former Governor Edwin Edwards, one time in one of his political runs for governor, he said he did not realize, he didn't believe in the resurrection. How many of y'all remember that? Do you remember that? Oh, it caused a ruckus in the state of Louisiana. Lord, gee, people began to have a fit. And you know, Edwin ain't stupid by no means. Governor Edwin Edwards is a smart man. And all he got a revelation. They said, well, Robert, boy, I mean, he got some heat over that. And because people believe in the resurrection, especially Christians. So a little bit later on, maybe a couple, 2 or 3 weeks, they said, well, do you still not believe in the resurrection? And Edwin, as he can talk, he said, I believe by faith. That's all God ever asked you to do is believe by faith. He never asked you to do anything else but to believe by faith. You see what I'm saying? So the Easter message must be protected by faith against the attacks of secular humanism. Now, what this message did, what this resurrection did, was proclaim something called victory. Write that down. Victory has been proclaimed for the church. It's already been proclaimed. You don't need to try to get to victory. You can live a victorious life. Victory has been proclaimed for the church. We move on, not to a sunset, but to an everlasting dawn. You see, to the atheists and secular humanists, they just move on to a sunset. Well, it's over. But you see, when you understand the resurrection of Jesus coming out of that grave, you move on to an everlasting dawn where there is no night, where there's no more time. Everything ceases to be. You begin to live in bliss the way God wanted you to live. Do you see that? That's what the resurrection does for the church. It's proclaimed victory. People always tell me, well, brother Jesse, my Lord, you know, you seem happy all the time. Well, I'm not going toward a sunset. I'm going toward everlasting dawn. I live in the light of the glorious gospel. That doesn't mean the devil don't attack me. I mean, I've been attacked, my Lord Jesus, just like anyone else. But instead of just saying, well, this is it, gloom and despair and agony on me, I like hee-haw, but I don't use it as a doctrine to live by. Remember that show, hee-haw, gloom and despair and agony on me? Whoa, deep, dark depression, excessive misery, whoa. Some people live like that. Some churches are in that hee-haw doctrine. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? Good Lord, there's some more new songs. Sing some new songs. I don't live the hee-haw doctrine. I don't live for sunset. I live for the everlasting dawn. You know what I like about dawn? Things wake up. The birds start singing. Things start chirping. It's another day. What a difference a day makes. That's what happened on that first Easter morning when Jesus came out of that grave. Birds begin to sing. Oh, Lord. People say, I don't believe that. Well, you want facts? Even Jesus' enemies said he rose from the dead. They paid off the people to shut their mouths. It's in the scripture. Go read it. Now, when your enemy said you rose from the dead, ladies and gentlemen, you rose from the dead. Somebody shout somebody. My God. Victory has been proclaimed for the church. We move on, not to a sunset, but to an everlasting dawn. I love that. Isn't that good? So I just can't wait till tomorrow. Why? Because it's going to be better than today. I had a man tell me, suppose you died, I go to heaven. But you ain't going to keep me. I'm coming back. I want to let everybody know here in the state of Louisiana, if I die, I'm coming back. You can't kill a Christian. They come back. Mr. Wilmire, he's my good friend. He's here. I preached his wonderful wife's funeral. She's coming back. I'm telling you, if you want to buy cheap real estate, buy it after the rapture. Because I mean, when the dead in Christ go rise, there's going to be a lot of land open up for availability. I'm telling you, son. Mark my words. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Write this down. The resurrection means that his power is just as available today as it was then. Why? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me say it again. The resurrection means that his power is just as available today as it was then. Why? Why is that? A reservoir of vast spiritual energy is now available to you and me. You know why I stay happy? I pull upon that reservoir of vast spiritual energy. I got attacked last week. I mean, ferociously. I'm a healthy man. I got hit like, I mean, my ears start blowing up inside my head. I don't know if it was I still don't really know. I don't really care. My heart began to flutter. Oh, Jesus, what's going on? I said, look at here. And the Lord said, what a difference a day makes. So what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to take communion just like you take communion. By his stripes, I am healed. I ain't had a heart attack or nothing, by no means. I didn't do any of that, none. But I mean, I got ferociously attacked. Right in the middle of my grandbaby being born. Devil trying to shut it down. But I said, forget what you live in a dream world. I began to pull on that reservoir of vast spiritual energy. That doesn't mean I'm not attacked. You understand what I'm saying? People think, oh, nothing ever happens to him. I get hit all the time. There's always somebody mad at me. When you preach worldwide television, there's somebody mad at me. We send out a beautiful invitation to come to preach, to come here on Sunday morning. Paid a lot of money for it. Just trying to be nice. You don't like it? Throw it away. Get your mailbox? Throw it away. We had people call our office. How'd you get my name? My God, man, anybody can get your name. It's called an electronic world. Come on, let the elevator go to the top. That's pretty simple. People want to know who you are? My God, all you got to do is Google your house. They can see you walking out in your pajamas if they want to. We're living in a technological world, ladies. But you would think they'd been like, how'd you get my name? And some people said, I thank you for doing that. We'd like to come and visit. What a blessing. See, when you're preaching all over the world, and I'm on over 2,700 television stations as of this preaching. And I'm doing it for one reason, to tell people Jesus is alive. I'm on a campaign. I'm campaigning. I said it last week. I'll say it again. I got mad people mad at me because I own a jet. Well, let me make you madder. I've owned 3 of them. Nah, 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 nah. I don't care if you get mad as 100. I've owned 3 jets, paid cash for all 3 of them. Glory to God. And I tell you what, and I ain't used one any time for personal use. I ain't had time. I'm on a campaign. I had a guy eating my lunch the other day. He said, are you Jesse the Planet? Yes, I am. Is that your plane? Yes, it is. Well, I don't think you ought to have a plane. Well, Hillary Clinton got a plane. Barack Obama got a plane. John McCain got a plane. Yeah, but they're campaigning. What do you think I'm doing? I'm campaigning that Jesus will be the nominee of your life. That's what I'm doing. Give me a day off. I ain't flying nowhere. I come home, Kenny. Amen. Jesse want to go home. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. It's a tool. I didn't get mad because you bought a car. Now, if a car would meet the needs of this ministry, I'd drive it. I'm preaching this resurrection. If Jesus was physically alive, you think you ought to see if you... He'd have a 747. Why? Because everybody, y'all be trying to get in the plane to go with him. Why not have a 747? Why not I believe God for a 747? Then I could take all of y'all with me when I go to Africa. Y'all would love to just go. See that? He'd say, bless God. What are you going to call it? But just nothing, just get on the plane. Oh, Lord. You mean we can get up? Yeah. You mean we can lay down on the floor? Or if you want to. Man, I tell you, I fought with a stewardess years ago going to Australia, 17-hour flight. Actually, it was 21 hours. But I mean, 17 from Los Angeles to, what was the name of that place? Sydney. I was the only one in the compartment. And I said, you know, since I'm the only one, I'm gonna lay on this floor. Oh, no, you can't do that. Why? She said, because you're liable to get hurt. Well, if the plane goes down, we're all gonna die, fool. You're doing, my God, 0.90 at 43,000 feet. You better know Jesus. Couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. Then I found out that she took half the night off and went sleeping the quarters. So I went back there and said, where are y'all going? Well, we're the other half of the stewardess. We're going to sleep and the other half's taking over. You mean y'all can lay down straight? I don't want nobody on no floor. And I'm going to be checking. They all laughed about it. And so when that staff left, one guy turned around, he closed the curtain. He said, Reverend, do whatever you want. I know nothing. I know nothing. I know nothing. That's a good man. Well, I slept good going to Australia that day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. So the resurrection means that his power is just as available today as it was then. A reservoir of vast spiritual energy is now available to you and me. Now, people say, but Jesse, are you afraid to die? No. No. Why? Because death's an enemy. I'm not afraid of any enemy. And I don't, and God has never made it a friend, and I will always be an enemy to death. I don't like death. Listen to this, write it down. The fear of death has been abolished. That's what the resurrection did. We shall all die. It's appointed that a man wants to die. But we shall never be dead. Write that down. Do you think Jesus was dead when his body was in that grave? No, no, no. But you see, for you to understand that, you have to use the shield of faith to stop the attacks of secular humanism. You got to understand that your faith is a lot stronger than what a human brain can think. Because it goes beyond what the human brain can think. Write it down. The fear of death has been abolished. We shall all die, but we shall never be dead. Why? Why? Because, see, you really begin to live. That's what the resurrection proved. That's what Christianity began to grow when people begin to realize it. And do you know, in one of the most amazing statements in the scriptures, when people are standing by Jesus physically, Ron, they're standing by him physically. They can touch him. The Bible said some doubted. Now, I can expect 2,000 years into the future for people to doubt, but my God, standing right by him like this pulpit, that you can do this. He's physically standing there. The Bible said some doubted. Oh, let me help you that I know the resurrection take place. You want to be a lawyer? No one was ever arrested for Jesus' resurrection. Stealing was a crime. And the crime and the end of it was death. In the Roman society, not one disciple was arrested. Like they tried to put that thing going on, they went and steal his body. Well, how come no one ever was arrested for it? Huh? You just want facts? You want to get into what I call the mind? No one was arrested. Not one person. Oh, let me help you. If the Roman soldiers, like they said, had fallen asleep, the penalty of that, if you fell asleep watching on your post watching, that was a death penalty. None of them were judged for falling asleep because they were getting drowsy and they woke up. So notice this, if someone stole the body, why didn't somebody get arrested? Because they arrested Jesus before. Notice it. Notice this. They would not even let that case come before because they didn't want it to be cross-examined. A cross-examination would have proved without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was alive and well, but they refused to even do that. What a difference a day makes. Do you see that? That proves to you right there. If you want to think intellectually, no one was arrested for his resurrection. Why? Because if they would have, then a case would have come up before Pilate. And then without a shadow of a doubt, it would have been spoken all over the Roman world that a man rose from the dead. My God, my God. So the fear of death has been abolished. We shall all die, but we shall never be dead. Now, write this down. This is very important. You are not a mere product of time. I think people think that, you know, as you get older, I'm just, passing through. No. You're not a mere product of time. By putting on Christ, immortality has been given to you. Immortality has been given to you. You're just not a mere product of time. You see what I'm saying? Immortality has been given to you. But it can only be given to you if you put Christ in you, the hope of glory. Remember when you first got saved, how nice it was? Because everybody around you was going, boo, 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 boo. Oh, sweet. But as you got older, they took out their knives and started beating on you. Why don't we go back to being nice? So I love the Baptist.
I love the Catholics. I love the Protestants. I like the Jews. I even like the Arabs.
I lost a view right there. I could tell.
No. I mean, why hate someone because of what some fool may do? You can't judge the world, throw everybody in a kettle and call it black when it isn't black. It's not right. I mean, how can you dislike anyone when you have immortality in you?
Christ in you. This resurrection. What a difference a day makes. Now write this down and let me close with this. Easter means, what does it mean? Let's just put it in all intellectual terms. Easter means goodness is stronger than evil. Truth is stronger than falsehood. And that love triumphs over hatred. That's what it means. Let's say it again. Easter means that goodness is stronger than evil. I love that. Truth is stronger than falsehood. And love triumphs over hatred. The resurrection proved that goodness was stronger than evil. It proved that the truth will always dissolve a lie, because the truth sets you free. And that love is greater than all the hatred Satan could put together. That's what it means. So when I think of the resurrection, I think, we made it. Jesus proved that goodness was better than the terribleness of mankind. That when you spoke a truth, it would destroy a lie. And if someone hated you, that love would triumph over it. You see what I'm saying? That's why this message must be kept alive and protected, not only from the doubt, but from the fog that it produces. Because you see, goodness will always overcome evil. And truth will always be stronger than a lie. And love will go beyond what hate goes to. Hate has a limit, but love is unlimited. It has no limitation. See, the resurrection was a revolution. My God. The resurrection was a revolution. Why? A new order is here. I've joined the revolution. Just join the revolution. Every grave that's been dug was dug by sin. Write that down. Sin dug every grave you've ever saw. Because there was no death. It was not supposed to be. Sin dug every grave. My Lord. Or sin dug death, all its graves. Every bit of it. Oh. See, earth is the place of tombs, but there are no tombs in heaven and no silent graves in hell. Just as much, ladies and gentlemen, there is a heaven. I have to warn you, there is a hell. People don't want to hear about it. You not talk much about it, but I'm telling you, just as much as there is a heaven and there's a resurrection, there is a hell. Mark my words, and there are no silent graves in hell. There is torment where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'm not trying to make you afraid. I'm making you understand that this is a reality. You can't be a Charles Manson without having an evil spirit around you. It's more than psychology or phenomena. Something is happening here. The spirit world is controlling, and the only way it can get to you in the physical world is through spirits, disembodied spirits. You can't have a Ted Bundy, a serial killer, unless you've got a devil that's producing it, because man was made to be good. But when you turn your life over to an outlaw spirit, first thing happens, selfishness completely takes you over. Secondly, you want to control and destroy everything that's in your way. Mark my words. He rose from the dead. He was in the lower abyss. And he said, will you leave my soul in hell? And the Bible said he led captive captive. He got him out of there. All Abraham's seed.
Because see, that Jewish sacrifice was the atonement. It's probably the holiest day of the Jews, the Day of Atonement. But the word atonement means to cover. The word atonement is not in the New Testament. It's in the Greek, but not in the New Testament. It's in the Greek, not in the Greek New Testament, but it's in our New Testament. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is not an atonement. It doesn't cover. The blood of Jesus washes your sin away. Somebody shout. The New Testament was wrote in Greek. The Old Testament was wrote in Hebrew. We use the word atonement in the New Testament, but it doesn't mean that. Because see, Jesus don't cover your sin. That's why the sacrifice was offered up for once and forever. That would have been enough. But he decided to do it physically. Came out of that grave. What a body. Flesh and bone. Inside the veins and the arteries is not blood, but the God manifested in liquid anointing flowing through you. This resurrection, what a difference a day makes. So I tell people on this Easter Sunday, do not go to a place that was not created for you. Don't listen to the secular humans and say there is no God and there is no devil. Get around a serial killer and look in his eyes. Go watch an interview with Charles Manson. Watch him. Oh, he's just insane. What is insanity? What causes that to happen? Not just a chemical reaction. And chemicals can cause things. But not to that level. There's something there. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? God. When Jesus came out that grave, I came out with him. My God, it gave me an opportunity. I had my own address in hell. I was going to hell. Listen to me. And I really didn't care. Because you don't know what you have till you lose it. I'm not trying to make you afraid. Fear don't have anything to do with this. This is living reality. But I thought of God as the church. As an institution. I went to church, my day of obligation, but it never changed me. I went to confession, but it never stopped my sinning. I prayed, but it never stopped my selfishness. I couldn't change myself. And I went to all those churches, the Catholic churches, the Baptist churches, the Pentecostal churches. I heard the Pentecost say, we have it. It didn't affect me. It didn't affect me. I heard him speak in tongues and almost laughed. I heard when people got healed, well, they got lucky. That's what I thought. They just got lucky. Maybe something happened. Until you get sick. Until that doctor sticks his finger in your face and says, you got 3 months to live. Set your affairs in order because you're going to die. Things begin to change. A man like me becomes very popular to people like that. Why? Because we give them hope. Hope. An atheist can't give you no hope. Secular humanism cannot give you no hope. But a resurrected Christ has given you hope. Do you see that? Do you understand that? Do you understand why I do what I do? Do you understand why I'm willing to take the criticism of the world? Being lied upon. Somebody lying about me at all times. Because when you're on this camera, when you're going across that world, somebody hates you. I don't like being hated. I've done nothing for anyone to ever hate me. But I know if I stop this message, I might cause someone to go to a place for eternity. Not just for a little while. When there's a beautiful place. A resurrected Christ. So I refuse. I will take the criticism of the world. I will be called a fool for Christ. You can say what you want. But on that glorious day, I will stand by my Lord and Savior. That day is coming, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, glory to God. So I must warn you. You can't go there. Don't go. Don't let your children know that. I said in close, I will do everything in my power to protect Kathy, to protect Jody, to protect Eddie, to protect Meredith. Oh, I'll do everything. Well, God Almighty did everything in his power to protect you.
Amen.
So don't let intellectual activity, range and research, induction and reasoning change your mind for what you know to be true. You'll accept it by faith. And as the faith develops, the faith will turn into fact. And then you'll get like the Apostle Paul, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. So you can cut my head off. You can throw me in a dungeon. But what I said will go into eternity. And St. John and St. Paul and St. Matthew and St. Luke, you name them all, and Timothy and my God and Peter, their words are proclaiming from a resurrected Christ. You have the opportunity today. You that are watching my television have the opportunity today. Opportunity. A revelation without a manifestation is a missed opportunity. So I ask you to stand to your feet, everyone. In just a minute, we're going to take Holy Communion. But I cannot offer you this sacrament without first giving you an opportunity to accept the resurrected Christ. What a difference a day makes. To accept Christ, the hope of glory. I believe when you accept Christ and then you take communion, it would be the best you've ever done. So with every head bowed, please. If you'd like to know God instead of knowing about him. I knew about God, but I did not know him. Or maybe you're struggling with your Christianity. Temptations are getting the best of you. And you want to come back to God to draw closer to him. No, you're not backslidden to hell by no means, but you're not living the way you should. Would you give me the honor of going to the throne on this Easter Sunday and say, Lord, here's a man, here's a woman. They know about you, but they don't know you. Lord, they want to know you. They need to get saved. So when they take Holy Communion, it'll be sealed in heaven and in earth. Or Lord, there's a person here struggling. No, they're not backsliding to hell, but they're not living the way they should live. Temptations are getting the best of them. And they want to draw closer. Lord, some call it rededicate. We don't call it that, me and you. We call it selling out. So with your head bowed, if you'd like to know God instead of knowing about God, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. I see your hand. Could I see other hands quickly? Yes, sir, I see your hand. Are there others quickly? Thank you. Or you're not where you should be with God and you need to draw closer to him. Could I see another hand quickly? Thank you. I see those hands all over. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands everywhere. I want everyone to look at me. Take the person's hand next to you. Under the unction and the instruction of the Holy Spirit, normally I would ask you to come forward. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you to hold the hand of a man or a woman that has accepted the resurrected Christ to know God. I'm going to ask everyone and those watching by television to pray this prayer with us. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day
I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me and for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, that I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I thank you today because of the resurrection. I have power over temptation, over sin, and all that comes against me. I speak the word of the living God in the power of Jesus' name, that I am what he says I am. And I have accepted him today in the name of Jesus.